In my very first class on the Old Testament, which we now more appropriately call the Hebrew Bible, my seminary professor said two things that I have never forgotten. First of all, she pointed out that in the Bible and in life, there are two versions of the word truth. There is the version that starts with the lowercase t, the little t, at the beginning, and then there is the one that starts with the capital T, the big T. Well, the Bible is full of uppercase truth, but not so much of lowercase truth. Historical facts are there, but there are not many of them, and they are often contradictory to what historians know for sure. But truth, with a capital T, this is woven throughout the collection of stories and letters and prophecies and poetry and song and psalms that make up our Holy Scripture, because the point of all of these writings is to tell the story of God and of God's actions in creation, in history, in humanity. The truth, capital T, of God and of our spiritual ancestors are told. The commandments, the Exodus, God's covenants, the truth of Jesus' resurrection, the truth of Pentecost, the truth of God's forgiveness, the truth that God calls imperfect people to do great and mighty things, the truth of God's almighty love is the capital T truth of our scriptures. So she said that. The other thing that she said was that you have to know what it says before you can know what it means. Then she spent the next year breaking down what all of us brand new seminary students thought we knew about the Hebrew Bible. Most of us recovered. In the way of love for Lent, which is our spiritual discipline this season at Calvary, today's practice is learn. Learn. This practice could be used in every single aspect of our lives, but for Lent, we focus on the invitation to a holy Lent that we heard on Ash Wednesday, where we are called to read and meditate on God's holy word. Well, I think most of you would vote yes if I suggested that Holy Scripture is required reading for clergy. Can we all agree on that? Yes. But we are all given this spiritual practice of learning to help guide us along our way. So I would suggest that Holy Scripture is required reading for all of us. The collect of the day that appears a couple of weeks before Advent prays this: Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. So why the practice of learning? Perhaps for some of us, it's just out of pure interest in these ancient texts that have been part of life for countless generations of Jewish and Christian people. Perhaps it's just curiosity to see what's there and why it's there. But in our spiritual lives, the why is to embrace and hold fast the hope of everlasting life, to learn what it says so that we can know what it means, to see all of the stories of our ancestors and how they handled the joys and the tragedies, how they dealt with violence and betrayal, what they did when death happened, and how they found new life. and how they did that in partnership with God, who was with them every step of the way. Reading and learning about Scripture and asking the questions, pushing against it, wondering what's going on. The famous rabbi Abraham Heschel said once, "You study and you learn from Scripture, you rub it until it bleeds." We want to know what's the context. Why is the story there? Why does it matter? Those questions open the doors in our heart and in our head for our own theological reflections, where we can ask the question, who is God in our lives? What is God up to? What can we hold on to give us hope in the midst of despair, faith when we wander in the wilderness, and courage when fear would be so much easier? And studying all of Scripture, learning all of it, not just plucking a bit here and a piece there. It's called proof texting. A little bit of a quote, a little bit of a saying. Studying it all helps us to get out of that echo chamber that is so easy to be part of, where we can use bits and pieces in our arguments and in our justification for our behavior or the behavior of others. That is not the practice of learning. Debating and arguing about Scripture is a fine tradition that stretches way before Christ, back to the very earliest of the Jewish scholars. We have to know what it says before we can know what it means. There are so many ways to practice learning about Scripture. There are countless Bible study methods. There are ways to study individually or in groups. For children, there are the important stories of the Bible are gathered in lovely picture books and games and videos. I remember when I was reading nighttime stories to my own daughter when she was very small, I was fascinated at how drawn she was to Bible stories. And I'm pretty sure that's because the underlying message of those stories for children is always about God's love for them. So where do we start with our required reading? In the New Testament, Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, is a good place to start because it is the oldest version of the story of Jesus. It's also the shortest. So start with the shortest. It's a good place to start. In the Hebrew Bible, start at the beginning. Start with Genesis. That works well. And today, we have a story from Genesis. In our first reading, we have the story of the making of the covenant between God and Abram. He's not even Abraham yet. That happens later. He's Abraham. And if you look at that story, especially the end of it there, this whole thing about splitting animals in two and all that blood and all that stuff, it's really odd. It's a very strange story until we practice learning about it. And we discover when we do our research that the act of sacrificing animals in just that way, of dividing them into two, and the act of the people who were making the covenant, who were both bringing their promises together to agree to something, the act that they would do was passing back and through between those slain animals with a flaming torch and a smoking fire pot. That's the way, or one of the ways, that a legal covenant was made in the days when Genesis was written. So we see when we practice learning that God used what was familiar, an everyday familiar thing with the people to show them how absolutely seriously God took this covenant with their ancestor Abram. And we can then say God uses what we know. God uses our geography, our architecture, the everyday things that happen in our lives to show us that God is present with us and to teach us that we are not alone. So there's an example of the practice of learning. If you'd rather, you could start the practice of learning by exploring a phrase that you've heard and you wonder, where did that come from? Like this phrase. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? You've heard that. That's in the book of Micah, the prophet Micah in the 6th chapter, or one that might be a little more familiar. The first commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Of course, that's Jesus talking. It appears in a couple of different places. That particular one is in the Gospel according to Mark, the 12th chapter. You do this. We do this practice of learning, because the more we practice learning about Holy Scripture, the more we will discover that we are learning about God, and the more we will discover that we are learning about ourselves. And the more we do that, the more we will find that really, it's all about love. And that is the truth. Amen.